Triste la vida, que hay aguas que están brotando. Agua de vida, saludable.
That sounds there. Peruvian Icaro singing at the end. Before that, church bells from Italy and a Buddhist chant from Kyoto and a call to prayer from Jerusalem. Stuart Folks is from the Cities and Memory Project, which maps and documents the sounds of the world. Great pleasure to hear them, Stuart. Morning to you.
Morning.
Why, though? Why have a sound map?
So the Sacred Spaces Project is the newest thing we've done at Cities in Memory. And what it's all about is presenting sounds to people to help people to appreciate that actually there's a whole world of beautiful sound around us every single day. And it's incredibly close to us. After all, we can hear before we can see. It's the first sense that we're aware of even before we're born. So partially it's about the appreciation of that and encouraging people through listening to the sounds on the map to listen to the world and potentially to listen to the world a little bit differently, because we not only need to appreciate sound, but we need to understand how it's changing and also how it needs to be preserved, because we're in danger of losing quite a lot of our valuable soundscapes as well.
Losing because of just the sound pollution that surrounds us.
Yeah, so to give you an example, I was in Amsterdam recording the Westerkerk there as part of this project, and that's a huge, impressive, beautiful church. But the bell now is just relegated to this kind of very small ting that you can barely hear over the din of traffic. There's an example of a church in Pendock in England where Elgar's organ is stashed away. That was originally the middle of a medieval village, and now the M50 runs right past it. So I was inside there recording the sound of the organ in this church, and you can clearly hear the sound of the M50 intruding inside through the stone walls of the church. So I mean, there's a little bit of appreciation needed about how we're in danger of losing some of these sounds.
And it's learning to listen as well, isn't it? Because we carry so much sound around with us on our mobiles now. We can be listening to music, indeed to the radio. There'll be people doing it now, let alone to ringtones and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really important. And that's why one aspect of the project is that for every location on the map, there's not just a field recording sound. There's also a remixed or reimagined version of the sound, which has been reinterpreted by an artist of some kind.
Reimagined in what way?
So they could be they could create a new musical piece from it. They could create a sort of more abstract piece of sound art. They could create some vocal cut-ups. There's all kinds of different things. I mean, someone's even done one based on TripAdvisor reviews of the place that, in the recording. So there's all sorts of stuff on there. But what that does is helps you to understand how the artist has kind of brought to bear their experience of a place and their memory to the sound, and helps you to kind of listen to it a little bit differently, I think.
And as you collate the map and you're listening to the sounds, you know, on this continent and that, different religions, different types of institution, do you conclude anything about it overall?
Well, what I was expecting was that there would be quite a lot of differences between how different religions use sound, but actually what came out of the project was real similarities. So, for example, if you look at the Muezzin's call to prayer or the function of a bell in Christianity, they're actually performing broadly the same function of organising our daily lives, organising our spiritual lives by calling us to prayer, telling us what time it is to get up in the morning and go to bed. But it's just a vocalised expression of that, or a kind of a mechanised expression of that. Or equally, if you go into a large sacred space like a cathedral or a mosque or something like that, you'll actually find that the sonic experience can be quite similar in the first instance.
Do you get to the stage where you think rather like you can have a quiet coach on the train, that you want to designate areas that want to be part of our lives, part of our towns and cities perhaps, where you say, this is a place to be quiet, listen.
I think there's a real case to be made for something like a blue plaque scheme, but for sound, to preserve a soundscape, because it's much harder to recognise one in the first place and then to preserve it. And once it's gone, it's gone. You know, I could complain about a block of flats being built or a landmark being destroyed or obscured, but the same thing doesn't really happen for sound.